This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Alex Michaelides, author of two books. Listeners might be familiar with his first novel, The Silent Patient, an instant bestseller. It's been sold in an amazing 50 countries. Alex was born and raised in Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean near the coast of Greece and Turkey. His newest book is The Maidens. Alex, welcome to Book Talk.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Why is your book set at Cambridge?
Well, you know, it's been on my mind since I was a student there about 20 years ago. I wanted to write about it because it's, you know, it's really beautiful and at the same time sort of mysterious and secretive. And I think it would be, I always thought it would be a really good setting for a thriller. But also it's, you know, it's because of the romantic appeal of it as well, I think. I think it's a very kind of evocative city. When I was thinking about setting a novel there, I decided to go back to visit it to take notes because I hadn't, you know, been in for so long. And so I would stay for, you know, a few days at a time in a hotel and I would take a notebook with me and I'd walk my way through the novel. And it was quite a remarkable experience because it brought it all to life to me again, but also all these memories that I'd forgotten about came back to me too. And as the novel is about a woman who's haunted by her past, I was able to kind of channel all of that stuff into writing the book, which I'm very pleased about.
Who are the Maidens?
Maidens are a group, a kind of secret society of young, high-achieving students at this college at Cambridge. The college is fictional. It's called St. Christopher's College. And it inspired the college I studied at. But I decided to kind of create a fictionalized version and give a kind of secret, kind of a look into this world, because it's quite a closed world in Cambridge and not many people know about it. So I felt because I'd studied there, I'd be able to give a kind of insider look at it. And also at this kind of secret society of these young women. And what happens in the story, essentially, is that their Greek tragedy professor, Edward Fosker, is a charismatic and mysterious man, and he is suspected of murdering the maidens. And our heroine, Mariana, is a group psychotherapist, and she becomes obsessed with proving his guilt, even at the risk of endangering her whole life.
So Mariana is convinced she knows who did the murder that occurs right as the book opens up. You studied psychotherapy. You created her. How would you rate her skills?
That's a very interesting question. You know, so I studied psychotherapy. I didn't graduate as a therapist because ultimately I felt that I was a writer. Mm-hmm. But also the problem was that, you know, throughout my training, I kept encountering all kinds of therapists, and a lot of them were extremely talented. But I encountered an equal number who I thought were as damaged and as troubled as the people they were trying to treat. And I think the problem with therapy is that you can't really quantify it, and it all comes down to the individual skill of the therapist, which is why you have to be very careful when choosing a therapist. And I felt that I'd never really seen a realistic therapist portrayed in the way that I had known people, which is what led me to write The Silent Patient and also The Maidens, because I felt that a lot of therapists are drawn to therapy because they themselves feel on some level conflicted or are damaged by their childhood or whatever, you know, kind of heal themselves. And so I think that both characters are slightly flawed and troubled. Yeah, absolutely. Her skills are, you know, I think she's empathetic and she's very smart, but I think she's also quite troubled and blind about certain aspects of her life. And that's what the story is about, really. It's about Mariana kind of groping her way towards the truth about what's really happening around her.
How and when did the idea for The Maidens come to you?
I think it came to me from the place, you know, from Cambridge. So I set the Silent Patient in a psychiatric unit. Because when I was working in a psychiatric unit, it occurred to me one day that, you know, I grew up on the beach in Cyprus, kind of devouring Agatha Christie thrillers and classic mysteries and thrillers. And I'm such a big fan of that genre. And so I thought that I wanted to try and, you know, emulate that. And Christie always sets all of her thrillers in an enclosed space, either in a, you know, an airplane or a deserted island or a house, a remote house or something. And it occurred to me that she'd never set one in a psychiatric. And I thought, oh, well, I could set one in one like this. And that would be a really good kind of iconic, cool, eerie, atmospheric place. And after The Silent Patient was published, I thought, okay, well, what else do I know about? What other places has Christie not done? And Christie had never set a mystery at a college. I think she never went to university. And so I think she probably felt she didn't have the experience or the detailed knowledge to write about that kind of world. And there's something about that. You need an enclosed world for the mystery to take place in, I think, that can contain it and hold it, if you know what I mean.
After you finished your schooling at Cambridge, you went to Los Angeles to film school to learn screenwriting. Was that much of a culture shock?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was. I love Los Angeles. I love America. And, Los Angeles, particularly Hollywood, is such an iconic, famous place. And so you feel that you know it, even if you don't know it, you know, just more the movies that I grew up watching. And I'm a huge movie fan. I'm as influenced by films as I am by books. And I really felt that I wanted to kind of immerse myself in Hollywood and make movies. And you know, that's what led me to be a screenwriter. And I honestly don't think I was a particularly good screenwriter. I think I'm a much better novelist. But it was a love of Hollywood. And so, yeah, as soon as I moved there, I did fall in love with it. And I still go back quite a lot. There's something really marvelous about it. I'd like to set a book there, actually, a thriller.
Getting back to your first book, what was your day job when you began The Silent Patient? Were you screenwriting?
Yeah, I was screenwriting. And I was working on a film that it was a really bad experience, and the film was not going well. And I just felt that I had to, you know, so basically the problem with films is that as a screenwriter, you're the least important person on a film set. And so, you know, you will watch work that you've spent years writing sort of be rewritten in front of your eyes without much care or thought. And then it's heartbreaking because you see the film kind of collapse in front of you. And it kept happening to me. And so I got to this point where I just thought, before I give up, because I felt very close to giving up, I have to try and write something where I'm just alone with a laptop and it's just me, that I could do that to write a novel, you know, to The Silent Patient. But it was an act of desperation, that decision to sit down and write it. But I'm awfully glad I did, because it felt ultimately that it was the right thing to do, you know?
Well, by the time you started your second book, you'd had great success with this first book. True?
Yeah.
What was the unusual challenge in writing the second book?
Oh, that's a really good question. It's true. Yeah. I mean, so when I wrote the first book, The Silent Patient, like I said, it was a bad place for me sort of creatively and professionally. And I'd been dropped by my last agent. So I didn't even have an agent at that point. And when I wrote the novel, I thought, OK, I'm just doing this for myself to prove I can. And I didn't believe that anybody would ever read it. And I think I felt so jaded, a bit damaged by my experience, that it took me a lot to even send it to an agent, to try and find an agent. I did. And then it did really well. And then I had to kind of think about writing something in a really completely different environment, where now I had, you know, two editors and I had all these publishers around the world and people who were looking forward to reading something else by me. All I could do was to kind of go back to who I was when I wrote the book. And I wrote the book just for myself as a kid on the beach to read, you know, when I read all those detective stories by Agatha Christie when I was about 12 or 13, I said to myself, one day I'm going to write a detective story for myself to read on the beach. And when I finished The Silent Patient, I printed it out and I went to the beach in Spain and I sat on the beach and I read the book. And, you know, and I was really, it was the first thing I'd written that I was really happy and proud of. And so when I felt a bit overwhelmed by the anticipation and expectation for the second novel, for The Maidens, I was able to just bring it back to that again and just think, okay, I'm just going to write a book for me to read on the beach. And that's all that I have to think about and try and please myself. And I really believe that in life, that's all you can do. I don't think it's helpful to be thinking about other people's expectations of you endlessly.
With the early success of your second novel, do you feel like you learned how to predict what makes a book successful? You just hope for the best.
No one's asked me that before. That's a really difficult question. No, of course I don't know how to predict it. I feel, and you know, I felt very, to be honest, I felt quite anxious about the response to the Maidens. So I'm really pleased that initially people seem to really like it and it's doing well. But no, I have absolutely no idea. Otherwise, I would have written a novel 20 years ago and had a number one then, but I didn't. You know, I think we are all maybe similar. And so if we write for ourselves, you know, to please ourselves, then we have a bigger chance of connecting with people. When I was a student at the American Film Institute, I had a really great writer, a teacher who was a Disney writer. And he said to us that the more universal you try to make your writing, the less anybody's interested. But paradoxically, the more personal you make it, the more everybody falls in love with it. It stayed with me as a thought. I don't think you get anywhere by trying to predict what people want. I think you just have to be true to yourself and write what you believe in, and then enough people will be interested.
Well, thank you. My guest is Alex Michaelides, author of The Maidens, published by Celadon Books. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.
That was lovely. Great. Thank you very much, Diana. It's a real pleasure talking to you.